The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, let this meeting be a defining moment that will set us on course for what you have us do. As we start off today, I ask that hearts will begin to burn, even as the word comes and will translate to much, much action that will yield mighty, mighty results. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me have a seat. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So maybe someone in the media team could share the YouTube link on the group so that others could share that. Amen. So that every one of us, every other people that are not here could follow on YouTube. I hope you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. Have you done that? I hope you know it's free if you've not done that. So maybe you just go do that, so I can get our updates. Amen. And if you follow service, you would have discovered that it's smoother to follow on YouTube than on Facebook. So just try it. Maybe you've never used YouTube in your life. You see? We're changing lives. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 31. I'm teaching on what I titled the charge. What I titled, it's harvest time. Let me touch on and say, it's harvest time. Come on, shake up and say, it's harvest time. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verse 31. That is time for everything under the heaven. And once the time and the season for something comes, it is better you begin to do it because it is easier in that season. In agriculture, there is planting season. There is planting season. There is a time we weed. There is a time we harvest. And all these things, if you try to harvest when you are supposed to be planting, you will have problem. Or you will harvest nonsense. But then, the Lord will have me announce to you, as I'm doing already, that we are in the season of harvest. Glory to God. Are you ready for this harvest? 2023, we are going to harvest a lot. A lot of souls, a lot of men that will come into the kingdom. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now, I'll give you the background of this story. This was when he got to the well. And initially, he had sent all his disciples to go buy food for him. Because if you track back, you find out that he was actually very hungry. So he sent them to go buy food for him. And they had all gone. So while he was waiting for them, sitting down on the well. So this lady came, a Samaritan woman. And that's good to note. And it was daytime. A Samaritan woman came. And in case you don't know, there is a cold war. Is it cold now? It wasn't even cold. It was very hot. Between the Jews and the Samaritans. The reason was Samaritans are half Jews. They're half Jews. They are not pure blooded Jews. They're half Jews. So the Jews believed that they were the right people that had access to God. The Samaritans do not think so. They think, well, we should also have access to Him. So the Jews saw the Samaritans as Gentiles. So you notice there was this cold war between them. And so this woman was a Samaritan. So she came to fetch water from the well. And Jesus begged her for water. Normally, a Jew and a Samaritan should not interact in that way. Not talk of asking favors from each other. But Jesus asked her for water. And of course, you know the whole story that transpired. How she told Jesus, well, you a Jew and a Samaritan. How are you asking for water? This shouldn't be happening. And Jesus explained and said, well, if you know who is talking to you, you are asking for the living water and he will give you. Long and short of the story is Jesus ministered the gospel to her. Amen. And told her you've had five husbands. And that clearly explains why she was even in the well in the afternoon. Because normally, you go to the well in the morning. But then, having had that kind of record, it was okay for her to stay away from people. So she would see her going in the afternoon. You get the point. Someone that's had 5 husbands. And it's not like her husband, not like she's getting married and divorcing. He said, even the one I'm living with now is not a husband. In other words, you've never had a husband. But you've been staying with people's husbands at different times. Such a record. Glory to God. And Jesus ministered the gospel to her. So while all of this transpired, she had gone into her village to go and call everybody. Come and see a man that told me much about myself and all that. So his disciples were now begging him. When they came back, they met him talking to a woman. If you track back the previous verses, they were asking themselves, why is he talking to a woman? Amen. And then they asked him, eat. Continue. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. In other words, I have eaten. They were just, I don't know the kind of food. So the disciples were now asking, did anybody bring him food to eat? Did you bring anything? Because the last we checked, you, we are very hungry. You sent not one of us, but all of us to go and buy food for you, showing the kind of hunger that was with you then. But then we are coming back after just some minutes or perhaps an hour, and then you're telling us that you've eaten. So they were asking themselves, did you bring food for him to eat? And of course, come on. Jesus said unto them, my meat, in other words, the food that I have eaten that has filled me is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In other words, I have eaten. In other words, I am satisfied. But then my satisfaction did not come from physical food. I just ministered to this woman and she just got saved. That is enough to fill my tummy and to make me not to want food again. If you are still here, say amen. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let me just slow down to let you see something. When he talks about the will of him that sent me, maybe they didn't understand what he was saying. But we are coming back to this. If you will just go over to 2 chapters after this, that is now in John chapter 6, I think from verse 36, he explained to them what he meant by, I want to do the will of him that sent me. In just as he said unto them, he said, but I say unto you, that you have also seen me, and believe not. In verse 37, he said, all that the Father cometh, giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In verse 38, he said, for I came down from heaven, watch, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So he mentions it again. And he now goes into more detail. That's why one day I told you guys in church here, that the Bible is a book you will not understand until you read all of it. Do you remember how you say that? Because sometimes when you see something in one part of a chapter of a book, you can just go to another part of the book and you now find, oh wow, that's what it means. Because if you had read just John chapter 4 without getting to this place, you would have thought that when Jesus talked about the will of the Father, maybe what he's saying is you should find the will of God for your life and pursue it. I get to the point. But he makes it very clear. This is the Father's will, which has said, what is the will? That of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth him have everlasting life. So the will of God is that sinners will have everlasting life. The will of God is that sinners will be saved, that men will be brought into this salvation, this eternal salvation, and they will no longer be lost. Are you following me? So you now go back to that John chapter 4. He told them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So you now see why, that's John chapter 4, I think that's verse 34. You now see why he told them, I have food that you do not know of. Because that woman just got saved. So Jesus just did the will of him that sent him. And that was his meat. Are you following me? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And I'm sitting there in verse 35. And he began to explain to them, say not ye that are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He was telling them in the physical, in the natural, you say it's four months before harvest. When is harvest time in Nigeria? Well, I think it pretty much depends on what you planted. Right? So, when is harvest time for yam? At least in this side of the country. You say? You say December? December? I don't think it's up to December. He said, I don't know about December. Ramona, ever been to the farm before? Well, whatever you say, let's assume, let's talk with September. Because some people say July, some people say December, some people say October, so I'll choose September. So let's assume it's September. So by the time this was happening, it was now around foremost September should be May or so. I mean, April or May. Now, he said, you are saying it's foremost for harvest. He said, but I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, you see, this must look like a parable to these guys. But that's not a parable. When he said, look on the fields, he was referring to, you will soon see, he was referring to the vast number of sinners that were available. He said, look at them. That's what he means by the fields. He said, they are ready for harvest. Now, watch what follows. He said, he that reapeth received wages and gathereth fruit unto the eternal, that both he that soweth, please pay attention to this, and he that reapeth might just together. So he's talking about two people. There is a sower and there is a reaper. He said, if you are reaping, you will receive wages as you reap. Are you following me? What is the wages? Part of it is you are gathering fruits unto eternal life. So as you are reaping, so what does it mean by sowing and reaping? What does it mean by sowing and reaping? See the next verse. See the next verse. Verse 37. Quickly. Amen. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. Now, he now brings it down. Because you might be wondering, am I a sower or a reaper? He said, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Now, I want you to understand this. So, who labored? And who have we entered into their labor? In other words, he said, you are not the sower. You are the reaper. The sower is the one that plants. The reaper is the one that harvests. Come on. And you can only harvest what is planted. So God doesn't want us to sow. He wants us to reap. Because the sowing has happened. How did it happen? When Jesus died. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground. So his death has made salvation possible. When we now go to the fields, we go to harvest what he has done in his death. Are you following me? Let me put it, explain it again. So when we say go for evangelism, you are not going to go and sow. You are going to go and reap the result of what Jesus has sown in his death and resurrection. Are you getting me? Before I even continue, that alone makes evangelism a whole easier. Because you are not going to go and sow, water, weed, do all of that. Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has died on the cross. Jesus has even sent out his angel and his angels and whatever to go around in the hearts of men, preparing their hearts, getting their hearts ready for the harvest. All you have to do is to go in and begin to reap the harvest. That's why Jesus told them, look, harvest is not 4 months away. Harvest has come now. Are you following me? I want to announce to you that the season we live now in the body of Christ is the season of harvest. When we have to step into the field and begin to harvest the souls of men which Jesus died for. Because he has done the planting. Now when you hear it's harvest time, if you are acquainted with agriculture, because what I'm sharing with you changed soul winning for me. That's why I strongly believe it's like I know my name. And there is no sinner I preach that will not be saved. Except you don't give me audience. As even if you're a cultist or an atheist, even if your grandfather is the head of witches, is the head of witches, and they pass it on to you, if you listen to me, you'll be saved. And I'll tell you why I believe that with all my heart. In agriculture, there are different stages. We have the planting season. Okay? If you've never done any of this, so you just learn. Amen. Just listen.
Glory to God.
Some of you have never gone to the farm. The latest you can remember is that one you did when you were in secondary school. Did you do it when you did that Greek practical? Let me see if you've been to the farm here. Okay. Because some of you do this one, it's like we live in the farm. It's like you're asking whether I've been to my house. Glory to God. But I once lived in the farm. It was very difficult. Oh God. And my mom can get you committed. Some days you've planned your day. Today I'm just going to go do this. That is the morning that day. If you wake up and say, we are going to the farm today. Don't you? It's fine. So in agriculture, there is a time before even the planting, you clear. Sometimes you have to till the ground and manure it and all that. Amen? And then, after that, you begin to cultivate. After you cultivate, you begin to plant. Now, what I'm trying to show you is, after the planting, you weed and all that, you prepare, you water. The easiest part of the job in agriculture is to harvest it. Have you ever cultivated anything before? No, have you ever cultivated? Not agri, like real cultivating. Like ridges. Even ladies are shouting yes. I fear some of you. Glory to God. Oh well, so that is the easiest part. That part where if it is maize, all you have to do is bring it down. If it is cassava, some of you don't know you don't pluck cassava. You take a pluck it, but you don't pluck it. So you have to, Kai, God is faithful. A lot is learned from this church. So you uproot it, okay? So you don't pluck it. I don't pluck yam, you don't know, right? You uproot it. And so what is the easiest part of the job? If it's yam, for instance, after you plant, it begins to grow. You have to come and stake it. You get the point? Put the long stick and then push the yam to go around. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some of them are very confused, but that's what you do. That's how you eat yam. Now, all of that is, this thing can take months. What you call harvesting is just to get in and just begin to harvest. And that is the part of the job that Jesus left for the church. The planting, the preparation, all of that has happened. He said, I'm sending you to reap where you bestowed no labor. Probably like NLT, let me show you. And so most times, when I read this, I said, sometimes we call our ministry labor. But Jesus is saying, I'm sending you to bestow no labor there. In other words, what you call labor is not even the real labor. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. So our assignment in the kingdom is to gather harvest. Gather harvest. Gather harvest. There is no land you go to that is not to gather harvest. He said, this land is tough. Idolatry. Jesus already died for all of them. The reason you can even preach is because the ground has been prepared. It's because he has died. The price has been paid. Satan has been defeated. That's why you can preach. And that changes ministry for me entirely and makes me see it from a different perspective. I am going to challenge you today that we are going to get into this year and harvest the people that Jesus died for. Do you know how I see this in my spirit? The way I see it is, even God began to talk to me about harvest, not now actually, some time ago, I began to understand evangelism and soul winning as harvest. I began to imagine a father who has a very big farmland. Then he hires people to cultivate it. And then he cultivates it, waters it, does all of that. And then finally the harvest is ripe. And he says to his children, all you have to do is go pluck that maize. And the kids ignore the maize. I didn't get the point. It's getting damaged. It's getting rotten. So you say, the harvest is ripe. I'm not sending you to go and till the ground. I'm not sending you to go and plant anything. I'm only saying, get into the farm and begin to pluck what has been planted. This is why evangelism is everybody's business. To not involve in soul winning is to make light of what Christ has done. It is to make sure that there is no harvest. Even people that are in countries where Christianity is not allowed, Jesus died for all of them too. So he wants you to go harvest. Glory to God. And this is why ministry should take a new tone for you. Evangelism, in churches they talk about evangelism and people see it as a big deal. And a deal for pastors. It is harvest time. Glory to God. And I'm already telling you what is why it is harvest time. Reason number one, I'm already talking about it. It's because Jesus has already died. His death already prepared the ground. Are you following me? Why did he even die? Isaiah 53 verse 10 tells us why he died. Isaiah 53 verse 10, put it up. I'll walk with King James, then maybe I'll come to you and I'll see you later. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, talk to me. Glory to God. Do you want to give me three hallelujah now? I say glory to God though. Uh-huh. This threat is working. Until it expires. He said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. You know, said, when thou shall make his soul an offering for sin, talking about Jesus, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong. So when God will make the soul of Jesus an offering for sin, that's when he will die. Jesus will see his seed. What does it mean by his seed? The products of his death. And through them, he will prolong his days. Now, this is a very confusing scripture if you don't understand the sacrifice of Christ. He said, when you make the soul an offering for sin, how can someone's soul be made an offering for sin? That is when the person dies. How can someone die and you now say when he dies, he will prolong his days? Are you following me? What he's saying is when we make his soul an offering for sin, now there will be seed that will be produced from that death. By that seed, his days will prolong. So like I always explain this when I share it with you, Jesus is still living on earth. How is he living? He is prolonging his days in you. Are you getting the point? Now, this is why he died. To prolong his days. Now, see the next verse. So, Jesus is in your neck. Jesus is in Enugu. Jesus is in your streets. How you are there. He said, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So after Jesus travails, he will be satisfied. Why? Because his seed will remain on the earth. Now that his seed that should remain on the earth is what we are sending you to go and harvest, to go and get. I get to the point. The product of that resurrection, we are saying, yes, you're a product of the resurrection. You should go and begin to pluck other fruits. Amen. And so the reason why he died, you see, the reason he died is so that men will be saved. You know, in Hebrew chapter 2, and I guess verse 10, Hebrew chapter 2, verse 10, he tells us that what he wants to do is to bring many sons to glory. To bring many sons to glory. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of the salvation perfect through suffering. So God wants to bring many people in your school, in your office, in your environment, to glory. Many sons to glory. And everything for this has been prepared. That all you just have to do is to go and reap, and reap, and reap. So why is the harvest ripe? Why is the harvest time? It's harvest time simply because Jesus has died and everything that should make it happen is available already. Are you following me? He died to bring many sons to glory. And every time I read this verse, I tell myself, the key word for me in this chapter, in this verse, is the word many. It's the word many. Jesus did not die for a few. He didn't die to save about 10 persons. He didn't die to save about 20 persons. He didn't die so that we can have a church of about 70 people. He didn't die to give us a church of about 200 people. He wants to bring many sons to glory. And that is how you should be thinking. Because you think one soul, two souls. Jesus is thinking a crowd. He's thinking many sons. He's thinking nations. I get the point. Look at how, I don't know if I continue with this teaching, I'm going to touch this again. Look at how he sent. He said, Matthew 28 verse 18, said all authority on earth have been given unto me. Verse 19, go therefore. Amen. And teach who? And teach all nations. So in reality, Jesus did not send us to people. He sent us to nations. So you are thinking, I'll just get two people saved in my class. Jesus says, I want to bring many sons to glory. So you've gotten 10 people saved. He's thinking of many sons. You've gotten 500 people saved. He's thinking of many sons. You've gotten 5,000 people saved. He's still saying many sons. Many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. So you see, reason the harvest is ripe because Jesus has already died and paid the price and made everything ready. Hallelujah. I tell you one more reason why the harvest is ripe. Why it's harvest time. It's harvest time because we are very close to the return of Christ. Now, pastors don't say this enough, but I have to tell you. And whether you think, whether you say, well, it's just talk. They've been saying he will return all the while and he has not come. I tell you, he will come. Electricity shocks. Whether you believe it or not. If you say, oh, I don't believe electricity shocks, and you can't touch it, it's going to shock you in your unbelief. And you will die in your unbelief. You don't have to believe it. Jesus is coming back again. But I want you to think about this. The day Isaiah stood up and said, a virgin shall conceive and be with a child. Now, if you are in Isaiah's church, maybe I come up on stage and I do rakaba laka rakata bosakataya. A virgin shall conceive, sir, and be with a child, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. What are you going to do? Maybe you will believe me because I'm your pastor. But then after 5 years, no virgin has conceived. No virgin has been with a child. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, then I die. No virgin has conceived and been with a child. You say, well, maybe I still believe. While on your deathbed, if your son asks you, will a virgin still conceive and be with a child? You say, forget that thing that man is saying. Who is following what I'm saying? That's how they treat the prophets about the second coming of Christ now. Do you know since you've been hearing a virgin caused by people with a child? Forget that thing. Do you know from the time Isaiah gave that prophecy to when it happened? Just thousands of years. In fact, from Genesis chapter 3, where God told the serpent, the seed of this woman will bruise your head one day. It took 4,000 years. I get the point. So fight. Don't fight. Say it's come. Jesus is coming back. Some will go to heaven. Some will go to hellfire. And because we are very close to his coming, what is he even coming to do? He's coming to rapture the saints. Glory to God. He's coming to take us home. To give us a new body. And because of that, we have to hurry up to get more men into the camp. That's what I'm talking about. We have to hurry up to get more men in. And the truth of the matter is, every sign towards the about the coming of Christ have been fulfilled. We are very close. Now see, God said to me one of those days. He said, every new day, whether you think we are wondering, will he come in 30 years time or 2000 time, 30 years time or whatever, just remember that every day you wake up, you are closer. My point is, if as at yesterday, it was about 900 years away. I'll give you an example. Or it's 50 years away. When you wake up today, it's no more 50 years away. The more you sleep and you wake up, you are drawing clothes. And that calls for radical evangelism. Because we are actually close. And, you know, apart from all this, let's not talk much about the day trumpet is going to sound and all that. Do you know how close your neighbor is to their death? You don't. I get to the point. Jim, I say, you know, it's going to be hearing. Now, do you know how close your classmate? You say, God, nobody's going to die in our class. God forbid. I pray so too. And I'm really praying that nobody will die around you. But people are close to death. People die for different reasons. And I can tell you, one of the things that tops the list for me why people die every day on the earth is because Satan wants to kill people before they hear the gospel. Satan wants to kill people before they accept the gospel. We are very close to the return of Christ. People are very close to their deathbeds. People are very close. Why do you think there are always wars? Yeah, about wars. People are dying. People die. It is the gospel being fought. That's why you realize that every time there is a war, go and read history. First World War, Second World War, it always sparks a revival. I get the point. Go and read everything. Even Nigeria Civil War. Some of you, have you heard about the Civil War revival in Nigeria? God, it was one of the... In fact, that is how many people got born again. That's how the SU movement thrived in Nigeria. Are you following me? That's how the scripture, you know, movement. Many people came in. There is this Igbo song, one ancient Igbo song that I know you don't like. But I just use the song to tell you. To tell you. You know this song by Okwesko. How many of you know Okwesko? Know him those days. I was not even born, I'm just saying. Now, the song, you know, there's one song he did. I heard this song, somebody saying, he was saying, Machu Kunyeregin, the witches, oh, one. Have you heard that song? Now, if you read it, fine, go ahead, leave it. What he was saying in the song is, he was telling people during the Civil War, there were many promises you made to God. He said, but you know, when war is raging, you can say to God, Father, if I come out alive, I'll be a pastor. I'll be an evangelist. I will serve you. So he's now saying, now that God has kept you alive, you've forgotten. Now I'm just going to use that to point out to what happened during the Civil War. During the Civil War, there was massive conversion. Let me tell you why. The reason was because Satan has come on rampage for mass annihilation. God now released his own weapon. So that as people are, before some of them died, there have been massive salvation in the camp. God is not mad. Every time Satan is launching a big attack, God is ahead of him. He's ahead of him. And that is the reason, go to the north. The kind of revival taking place in the north, forget all this, the kind of number of people getting saved in the north, there are radical evangelists rising in the north. Can't check. Because war is brewing. People are dying. People are burning down places. But God is ahead. Said we are very close to the return of Christ. We are very close to Satan wanting to eliminate people in their numbers. And we must take it. Or if you don't know when Jesus is going to come, or when rapture is going to take place, wherever you want to put it, or we're going to be raptured. You don't know. You don't know when your neighbor is going to die. Whenever you hear that someone has died, your greatest regret should be that you didn't preach the gospel to the person. That's your greatest regret. Hallelujah. We are very close. Jesus told them in Matthew 24 verse 14, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the world, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. So once that gospel is preached everywhere, the end will come. You say, ah, so it means the end is far. No, it means the end is very near. Because the gospel is getting to everywhere. He says, sir, but there are countries that Christianity is not allowed. Well, social media.
Are you getting the point?
Social media, books, messages. Things are happening. Go check China, what is happening in China. China is a place you shouldn't, but people, God is raising men. I heard of Reverend Dr. Mokwa, I said many years ago, that they say, those days you don't even enter China with Bibles. So he packed Bibles in Ghana Moscow. He was going to China. Different bags, Bible. So they go to the airport. They were supposed to, you know, check the bags, you know, to make sure that they love the power of God. But just to check, make sure there are no contrabands in the bag. So in there, they were just standing there. He said they wanted to check the bag. He just said, Suwarayambama. You know Dr. Ma, right? He said the machine stopped working. They tried it again. It was just pacing. Siya no mela. And they stopped working. They tried and tried. He said, can I pass now? They said, are you sure there's nothing in the bag? He said, there's nothing in the bag. And they moved in Bibles into those nations. Now, those things are paying off now. Go to China now. China is, if you check this, the data, I'm trying to show you something. If you check the data for Christian nations, number of Christians in countries, China ranks first 10. I don't give wrong data. Ranks first 10 currently. Are you following me? This is a nation where Christianity is not allowed at all. They have underground churches. Underground churches, and these guys are crazy. Something is rising in China. And it will not be long you'll hear about it. These guys are mad. What I mean they're crazy. An American preacher said he got there to preach to them. They just got in and they told him, well, we're going to meet us, so they come. I said he went there, he was just preaching. So he asked them, if they catch us, what will happen? Amen. And then they told him, well, if they catch us, you will be deported back to your country. We will go to jail. So you have nothing to lose. But keep talking. These guys are crazy. He mentioned, John chapter 4. As I was looking for it, they started reading it. So one of the reasons they gave him, they said, we spent all of us have been to prison at different times in our lives for the gospel. When we are there, we spend it memorizing scriptures. You don't carry Bible. I think I've shared it with you. They tear out pages of the Bible. That's how they read the Bible. I think I played that video in church one of those days. They tear out pages. So today you are going to read Matthew chapter 2. So I'll give you. I'll read chapter 1. Return tomorrow exchange. You take chapter 3. I take chapter 2. Such commitment. For a communist nation. I get what I'm talking about here. A communist nation. So God is ahead. The gospel of the kingdom is spreading with force. Even Satan doesn't know what he's brewing. He doesn't know. You see, this is why I say to you, we are close to the end. We must begin to tie all loose ends. Get more men saved. Bring more men into the camp. It's harvest time. Our Father is about to return. Whether he returns and we see him in the cloud, or he returns by some person, by we leaving this earth, by death or through any means. Point is, the people in your class don't have all the time. You also do not have all the time on earth. However you look at it. He said, I will not die young. Amen. I'm praying. We believe you will not die young. We believe you live till 120. But 120 is still small compared to eternity. It's still small compared to the number of persons on earth to be reached. Currently, the earth has about, is it 7 billion or 8 billion? People. Is it? About 8 billion on earth. People have to be reached. And because we are very close to that return, we must intensify. Men are working. God is working over time. We don't even know how much he's doing. Except God opens your eyes. You know, one of the greatest blessings that's hit the church for the past 20 years was COVID-19. You hear what I said? One of the greatest blessings. The number of persons that were reached with the gospel then. Who's ahead of the devil? I get the point. ahead of the devil. I don't know why I'm saying this. Way ahead of the devil. The last one, Pastor Christian Eklome, did healing streams then, and they had an estimated 3 billion to 4 billion viewership. Human beings, 3 to 4 billion. Are you getting the point? You know, you need to know, God is ahead of the devil. Are you getting the point? He's ahead. As even if I'm Satan, I will remove lockdown. Do you know, it was during lockdown, even as a small ministry that we were as at then, we were streaming services, sometimes on some days, you are seeing up to 300 persons. A number, there was a particular day we had about 700 persons follow service. A number we've never had in church. I get what I'm saying? There is a spread. Are you following me? There is a spread. And you better know it. And you better get involved. It's harvest time. We are this close to his return. We are this close to his return. I get to the point. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11, Paul said, knowing the terror of God. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. We persuade men. When he talks about the terror of God, knowing the faith of the unsaved man, knowing the faith of the man who has not received Jesus, knowing their faith, we persuade men. We persuade men. Knowing that if you have not received Jesus, you are dead in sins and trespasses. Knowing that if you have not received Jesus, you are condemned. You know, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, it talks about the condemnation for the man, you see, who is not born again. 1 John 5, verse 12. Glory to God. It said, he that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son had not life. So the man that is not saved is lifeless. Let me put it another way, is dead. And knowing that this is his state, we can't let men just be. We can't let men just be. In John chapter 3 and verse 18, he explained to us what what it means to be condemned. John 3 verse 18. What it means, you know, verse 16 talks about God so loved the world and all that. In verse 18, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. So people say, oh, well, when we die, we unbelievers say they go to hell. Well, I can tell you, the unbeliever is living in hell already on earth. He's already condemned. It is when he gets there that you just walk into the reality of where he has always lived all his life. You say, what is hell? I've explained that to you. The Bible talks about the fact that you will be cast out away from the presence of God. I think I've explained that. Away from his presence. The fact that you are going to be in a place where God's presence. Do you know what makes heaven beautiful? It's not streets of gold. If it is streets of gold that makes heaven beautiful, it means if you are a wealthy man on earth, you're already in heaven. Because if you're a wealthy man, you can use gold to build your house. I get the point. What makes heaven beautiful is God's presence. Oh, glory to God. God's presence. God's presence. Glory to God. God's presence. So it's not about the streets of gold. Amen. It's not about the streets of gold. It's not about the beauty. It's about the fact that we will be there with Jesus forever. You see, that's why I told you that the man in Christ is already enjoying heaven here. Because that presence of God is already living inside of him. The only thing is that when he now gets there, this flesh will stop functioning. And he can now come into the full reality of what has always had in Christ Jesus. You are still, let's say amen. As I'd like you to know that if we know the terror of God, if we know the terror of God, if we understand the state of the unsaved man, we will reach out to them. I'll say one more thing if I just get into other areas of this challenge and then we pray. You see, another reason why it's harvest time, specifically now, is because we are living in the season of prophecy fulfillments. There are 101 prophecies that have gone ahead of the today church, the 21st century church. I wish I had time. I would have read prophecies for you. You see, every man of God that ever lived that you read about Spiritual Sword, you read about Brother Hagin, you read about
about catching coma, read about or a robot, read about CLS, before they died, they always leave a prophecy behind. That prophecy is, there is a generation that will surpass what you did every time. And this is the generation.
Are you following me?
We are living in days of prophecy fulfillment. We are living in days where there is a chaos moment in the spirit. A coming together of many prophetic words that have been spoken. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It shall come to pass on the last day that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's where we are living in now. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. We are living in days where all sons and daughters shall prophesy. That's where we live in. We are living in the days where, you know, the latter rain, you know, there was a prophecy that came. There are times when God shall bring the latter rain and the former rain into one. Hallelujah. I think that's Joel. I mean, that's Joel. Said the latter rain, that Joel or Haggai, said the latter rain and the former rain will come in the same month. What that means is, we are in a season where it looks like there is a rush. God is in a hurry to do a lot of things, to bring more men in. In other words, what should happen in seasons, the whole seasons will now be compressed together to happen once. And we must fulfill these prophecies. Are you getting me? Words have gone ahead of us. And we are living in the days where those words should be fulfilled. And because of that, the time for harvest has come. Hallelujah. The time for harvest has come. I want to show you something. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, I think, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, he said, for the earth shall be filled. You know, this is a prophecy. And this prophecy is supposed to be fulfilled in our day. Now, notice, he didn't say that the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. I know that's not what he said. Is that what he said? What did he say? The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. In other words, when the knowledge of the glory of God is Jesus himself, when his knowledge will flood the earth as water covers the sea, that will not happen in your bedroom. And so because there are prophecies like this, this is another year to step into prophecy. Is another year to step into prophecy. Is another year to become a part of what God is doing. Let me say something to you. God does not lie. Two, God has never failed. The reason I call on people to preach the gospel is not because I'm afraid that God is going to fail. Oh, maybe Satan will now have more men than God. God has never failed. He will never fail. His agenda always works. I am only inviting you to become part of the success story. I'm only inviting you to come and do your part. But you see, he told them in Israel, and I pray that's not your case. He told them, if you don't serve me, don't praise me, I'm going to raise up stones to do it. The Jews rejected him. He raised up stones. Who are those stones? He raised up the Gentile nations to carry it. And far be it from me that what God wants me to do, he will give to another because I'm irresponsible. Are you following me? Are you following me? Let me say something that I don't think I've said here a lot. There is, you see here, whether you know it or yes, as a believer, there are people that God has attached to you that until you meet them, they will not be saved. I don't know if nobody has told you this. But it is true yesterday, today, and forever. There are people that God is expecting that it is you that will get saved. That will change. Have you not met people on the street and then you preach to them? And these people, different people have preached to them. But when you came, it's like something connected. Because you are tied. As a local church, I know this. There are people that will not be changed, that will never grow until they meet our church. That's why we must be serious. Are you following me? I said that I'm going to never be changed.
What's the name of that church?
Doesn't make us special. And there are people that if you pack and put in this church, they will never grow. Put fertilizer, put manure, put everything. It's not just their place. And that's why as a pastor, I always pray to God, Father, give us our people. And as I once you walk into that door, our people will catch you. I used to pray, ask God, Father, give us our people. I don't want people that are not our people. We will throw our nets round. But Father, I want to catch the fish that belong to us. The people you've given us as your assignment. I don't want to labor in another man's field. Your people, our people. Jesus put it this way, talking about salvation. He said, those the Father has given to me will come to me. Every God ordained ministry has people sent to them. And so is every child of God. Now, whether you see yourself as a pastor or not, because you're a believer, there are people that God has attached to your life that He wants you to save. And I say it again, far be it from me that because of my irresponsibility, they will take my assignment and give it to another. Because in case you don't know, maybe nobody has told you, God has your replacement.
You know what I said?
Let me say, Nebo, touch me, say Nebo. God has your replacement. So I'm not just going to preach. What God is going to do, He's going to pick another person and He will do the job. But that will be failure on your own end. Prophets has gone ahead of you. I get to me. God has your replacement. He told them, if you won't serve me, I will pick up the stones. I'll raise the stones. In fact, in Acts 1 verse 20, after Judas had said that he has left, the apostles called a meeting. And they said something. It is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. His bishopric, let another take. This was when they picked up another person to replace Judas. So another man took his bishopric. Another man stepped into the place of his assignment. That will not be me. I'm telling you. I'm not an irresponsible child. His bishopric, let another take. His mantle, his assignment, his responsibility, all that God packaged for him to do on earth, let another take. So they casted lots and they chose someone to replace Judas. God has your replacement. He doesn't want to replace you, but He has your replacement. The way I normally put it to myself, I tell myself all the time, Henry, you are very relevant to God, but you're not indispensable. I get the point. I'm relevant to God. But it's in my head that I'm not indispensable. Because God will not allow His precious people waste because you're irrelevant, irresponsible. And that's why you must decide that this is another year that you will take part of the prophecies that have gone ahead of you. There is an army rising. There's an army rising, and you have to decide to become part of this army. You have to be decided because there are words that have gone ahead of you. God is saying, as small as you think you are, I want to use you to change one or two persons. I want to change 500. I want to change 200. I want to change 50. Some of you don't even know how much capacity you have. There are some of you in this place, some of you youngest, and I'm getting this by the Spirit. You see ladies, and you have this strong passion towards young girls that are being trapped in some kind of dangerous situations. Some of them drugs. Some of them people that have been raped and molested. Some of them people that are drawn to cultism. Some of them people that are struggling. You feel that drive. You think God has not called you, has not put it to your heart to do it. What are you supposed to do? Begin to reach out to them. No, but you sit down. Another man will replace you. Do you know, I've never seen this in the Bible before I learned this, and I'm telling you. A girl met me one day and told me many years ago, secondary school. Then I used to meet, but I motivate some of you. I challenge some of you. Preach in your school, secondary school, university. Preach there. That is why you are there. So she told me, said, sometimes I notice something. God has been giving me messages to preach. You know, then they used to have school assembly, and you can come and preach in the assembly. He said, "Oh, give me messages. Give me a title. I'll prepare the message." So, but I'll keep postponing it. He said, if I postpone it, yes, by the next week, I'll hear somebody climb that stage and preach the exact message with the same topic, same scriptures. Then it happened 3 times. I said, God wants us to get this message out. He puts it to your mouth, you say you will not give it. He puts it in another person's mouth, but far be it from me. I get the point. I'm not a liability in God's kingdom. I'm not matter. I don't just occupy space. Are you following me? God wants you to reach the world. He wants you to change the nations. He wants you to talk to your classmate. He wants you to talk to your workmate. He wants you to talk to that person in your street, that person in your environment. He wants you to do that because harvest has come. Harvest has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Harvest has come. And you better get into it. You better get into it. And I want to challenge you before we close that you must prioritize what I'm sharing with you above every other thing. Whether you call yourself a pastor or not, every other thing you are doing on earth is secondary. And you better believe it. Or you just think pastor wants to make your life boring, or pastor wants to turn you into a pastor by fire, by force. Every other thing you are doing in your life is secondary. I can even tell you one reason. Because every other thing you are doing on earth will end on earth once you die. I guess you get a good job, pack the money. Once you die, it remains here. Your children will pounce on it and show you how to spend it. Only one thing has eternal relevance. When we stand before Jesus, He will not ask you, how much money did you make? He won't ask you, how many cars did you buy? He won't even ask you, how many businesses you opened? All He wants to do is, I gave you 5 talents. What did He produce? You know that parable, right? What that means is, I put this ability within you. What did you do with it? I put in you a capacity to get 500 men to me and to disciple them. I put in you, Pastor Henry, a capacity to minister to and raise thousands of people. What did you do with it? Why you just running up and down? He's going to ask me. He will ask you too. As everything you do on earth is secondary. As a matter of fact, everything you do on earth, you should see it as a platform for the main thing God wants you to do. You know, I was talking to one of my people yesterday in the office, and I said, when I tell you guys to go for your master's, go for your PhD, and push for the top, it's because I don't want that in 20 years' time, 15 years' time, you are still the lowest in your office. How will you minister to people? I don't want that in 20 years' time, you are still telling your boss, you are still so small in the company on the ladder, you are still saying, please permit me, I want to go for a program. Or you tell a lie, that I buried my great-grandfather, I want to go. And you want to go and preach. So you need to be highly placed in your profession that you'll be in charge. And to me, it's just a platform. Please follow what I'm talking about. It's just a platform. Glory to God. There were 2 men. You hear about Aquila and Priscilla. How did Paul meet them? The Bible said they were of the same craft. They were tent makers. Paul met them at work. Got them saved at work. Discipled them in the church. And again, they were to meet another man called Apollos and disciple that same person. All of them at work. That's Acts 18. All of them, they met in the place of work. So your place of work is simply a platform. Your classroom is a platform. Where you are is a platform. Some of you are teaching in secondary schools. That is a platform to help some of those young ones. You are in your classroom. That's a platform. That's a platform. You a doctor. You a barrister. People always come around you. Once you interact with people, God is offering you a platform to change them. Don't get carried away. You must prioritize this above every other thing. Paul did ministry as a tent maker. Daniel did ministry as a politician. And I've shared that with you again and again. Look at Daniel 2 verse 48. Daniel was not a pastor. We call Daniel a prophet, but Daniel never stood in a church to prophesy. Never. The king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him the ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Not ushering team, Babylon. Say amen. It's not pastor that made him of decoration. Babylon. Made him, now not just over the whole province of Babylon, he became the chief of the governors. There were many governors. Daniel was not just a governor, he was the chief of the governors. That's why he must rise to the top of your career. And the reason is so that there will be a platform to bless men with the gospel. People do all this, taking over the mountains of economy. All those is nonsense. I don't believe in all those stuffs. Because what they call mountains, they feel, they now feel, I want to correct something. They now feel, okay, if they make me a governor and I'm building roads, I'm doing the work of God. You're a fool. That's not true. If you are building roads, you are doing your job as a governor. Social responsibility. God is not against, God is happy with you. But if you think that when you stand before Jesus, he will tell you, okay, how many roads did you build? You're joking. When you become a governor and you're a believer, you are now in a place of authority to now preach the gospel, the same gospel. You must prioritize this. You're working in an office, same thing. You are in a classroom, same thing. You are in your company, same thing. In your room, same thing. Some of you are students, you live in the hostel, you have about 3 people in your room. That's an opportunity to make sure that these guys don't leave this room without getting saved. What even burns in your heart as a believer? But what you do is you get in there and begin to quarrel with them. Don't touch my water, don't touch my pot. And you blow up opportunities. That's how I see it. Let me tell some of the students that stay in hostel. Every year, tell God, Father, bring to my room people I'll bring to you. Every year. Bring to my room, Jesus, people I'll bring to you. I begin to trust him that it will happen. So when they enter the room, even if all of them are Ron's girls or Ron's boys, they're not Ron's boys. Bad Aaron's guess or whichever one. No matter how bad they are, these people are for Jesus. I'm going to reach them. So prioritize this. I'll even add a little thing to you. Let what I'm sharing with you now be one of the major things that affect your choices, that determine the choices you make. Let it choose the church you will join. Let it choose even where you will live. Let it be part of what will affect even your friends. You have a friend, you keep friends who don't care about reaching out to people. Even if they are born again. Even if they are born again. But they don't care about reaching people. You are in the wrong company, sir. You are in the wrong, and you better leave that company. Early. If not, that their lukewarmness will rub off on you. It will. There are companies that I left. Some of them were even believers, ministers. But I just saw these guys don't care about souls. They don't care one bit. And I had to move. See. Let it affect your choices. Let it affect your daily routine. Let it affect who you marry. It will forever be romantic. For a man and a woman who are married to hit the street preaching the gospel, forever romantic. And if that's not romantic to you, then I don't know what romantic is to you. These are pictures that you see and you write God when. It's not where you see two people wearing uniform. Her man. Her woman. Maybe his man. Well, anyone. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Anyway, in case you already, you don't know me already. Such things don't move me. Personally, you know why? I see all of them as acted, as scripted. Oh. You see two people in the kitchen that are just cooking, and you now think, who snapped them? Do you see the quality of that camera they used to snap them? That tells you that they got that, they called people to come and snap them. So do they cook like that every day? Who snapped it? You say, God, when? They're lying down on the bed, they're holding hands. You say, God, when? Now, does which camera snap? Is it selfie? Somebody stood there and snapped it. I just say, oh God, when? Oh, this single life, it came, it will. It will. Listen. You better go and preach the gospel. What do you call sweet? What do you call romantic? What do you call? I don't know about you. The first thing that excited me about T.L. Osborne and the wife was that T.L. Osborne married the wife at 18, and he was 18. The wife was 17. And at 19, that's 1918 now, they went off to India as young people for missions. They spent years there preaching the gospel. That thing will ever remain fun, ever remain romantic to me, ever remain God-when to me. Whatever. But no, you don't want it. You don't want it. You want Bishop Edeko with a touch of whiskey. You will get him. And then you explain it to him. We need to go and preach, you know. Or you, the guy, you don't want. It's just spiritual. I want a girl that no way. What you don't know about knowing way is that every way can be taught. You better know what to focus on. Because people that know way today will not know way in 20 years' time. In 20 years' time, it's your children that will now know way. It's everything you think you know now. In 20 years' time, you'll be a cake to your kids. You know it's true. There are things that you're going to just say. You'll be wondering, how does this appeal to you people? Just like songs now. All these songs we are singing now, our fathers are wondering, how do people enjoy this thing? And then you are wondering, how do you enjoy that thing? They have to say, Fela is a legend. First, I listen to his song. I said, where is the legend? Well, it appealed to them. So if what you are looking for is trend, in 20 years time, it's no longer be trendy. 30 years time, it's no longer be trendy. But the gospel will forever be trendy. Forever. Every year. If it gets trendier by the year. I get it, the point, friends. It affects the choice of who you marry. It affects the choice when you come into school. Some of you just got into first year or something. Now, if you are looking around to choose your friends, what do you look for? To check, you come into a church, you want to choose your friends. Look out for those firebrand ones. Look out for those ones that they don't have to be leaders or pastors, but at least when you talk ministry, that's talking ministry. And I can even tell you, that's how to marry the right person. If you surround yourself with the right people, you pick one of them and marry them. You surround yourself with the stupid people, you'll be looking outside your camp to marry. And the chances are your Eve is in your Garden of Eden. Are you following me? Uh-huh. So you surround yourself with a couple. That's why I tell some thinking about marriage now. Now, we'll do singles connect this year again. But this year soon will be interesting. You don't want again? All of you are in singles connect last year. How was it? Singles disconnect. If you heeded my instruction last year, this is now your year of connection this year. That's if you heeded my instruction last year. that last year, I think it was 23 mistakes singles make. You are in one of them. Glory to God. But then you see, you can't surround yourself with the wrong people. And when it's time to get married, that's why I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm just saying most of these young men that they want to get married and their mother is calling, Mwam na chongwan. The auntie is saying, we are looking for a wife. How do you guys, you didn't go to school? You don't have a church? You don't have people around? What do they, that are looking for a wife for me? So how will you, when they find a wife for you, I hope they will do the other things for you too. When the time comes. And that's how you, once there is a quarrel, mommy, my wife, we are quarreling in our house. Oil finish. Mommy, oil has finished. I'll call for some of you this year. Some of you men, leave this matter. Let's come back to ministry. Because sometimes it's just weakness. But let's leave it. Get into the right company. Let's start from there. Look for people that share same passion. Every time you do business and they dupe you, and they ask you, see, I thought that he was my friend. Who is your friend? That someone was your roommate does not mean the person is your friend. Have people who share the same passion, who see what you see, who Jesus matter to, who value the things of the kingdom above every other thing. Hallelujah. Should be. I want to challenge you to decide this year to go all the way in. Cut off distractions this year. Cut off excuses. Two things. Distraction and excuses. Distraction and excuses. Distractions are the reasons why you are not focused. Excuses are good reasons for failure. Do you know what I said? Now, they are good. I don't believe in excuses. Now, some of you already know. Once you walk with me, there is no excuse good enough. If I accept your excuse, because I'm just leaving you. If you are close to me, no excuse is good enough. You say why? Because anything you want to do, you will do it. Why don't you come for evangelism on Saturdays? You know, on Saturdays, I go to school from Monday to Friday. Saturday is the day that I have to wash and iron and clean. We don't have clothes to wash. We are jobless. We've never washed. Are you finer than us? Why are you finer than? Who do you dress more than? That's irresponsibility speaking. And if you're like that, you change. Excuses are good reasons for failure. It is trying to explain your failure away. It's trying to explain your failure away. And this relates to every aspect of life. Why don't you read your book all the time? You know, when I come back, my back will be turning me. My eye will be turning me. We don't have too much food in the house. I will now sleep. You are just making excuses for your failure. The secret is this. When you get your result and it is F, nobody is going to listen to those excuses. All they know is that you got F. So why is your business not doing well? Sir, you don't know. Every time I post, nobody used to like, excuse. Pack it. And gather foolish people who will be condoning you. They will tell you, chai, you are trying. Gather idiots. Let them be consoling you and talking to you. Oh, you are doing well. Miss my type, you are not doing well. See, whatever hurdle you have, someone has crossed it. You don't want to preach the gospel? You are not the busiest person. How busy are you? How busy are you? Get to the fields. Meet army generals preaching. Generals in the army. Politicians. Millionaires. CEOs. Bankers. Why don't you go for Thursday services? You know, I finish from work. Are you the only one that will? So, you know, sometimes you are funny. You think when you enter this church, all of us, all we do is come to church. Everybody here has one thing or the other that I do. In fact, I can bet that everybody here is busier than you are. You that is making excuses. Some people are students, working, catching for the needs of their families as students. And yet there is outreach that are there. But you, once you carry water from here to there, you're on your bed like, you have passed through a lot. Better stop it this year. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Shake your neighbor up. Say, stop it. This is stop the excuses this year. Stop it. Stop it. What? Glory to God. Even in this church, last bonds are preaching. And that's a lot. You know, last wants to be, you know, once they just lift spoon. They're on the bed. But you see, God has said many last bonds. They're now preaching. And you are giving you. They're giving you excuses. One excuse after another. Let me tell you. Preaching, whatever you do, you know me, I hate excuses. Anything I did not do, just trust me, I didn't want to do it. If I had worked hard enough, if I had planned better, if I had structured my life better, if I had strategized, I would have done it. And that's how you see it. See, you can win 500 souls this year. No matter how busy you think you are. You can win 300 souls this year. I spent a better part of my first and second year in school waking up every morning to enter one lecture theater after another. Yeah. Every morning. Every morning. Sometimes the evangelist at 2 p.m. You won't come. You only come around 4 or 5 when it's time to do rehearsal. This year I'm going to come for you. Come by that time, you go home. Go home. What are you singing? That song you want to sing on stage, who will listen to it? The people, other people went out to go and preach to bring in. You want to come and sing? Don't sing to them. If you will not bring your own people. Cut off excuses this year. And I'm talking about ministry, but I want to touch another aspect of your life. Anything you want to do, stop the excuses. Why have I not expanded my sphere of influence? Why have I not added more streams of income? Sir, this work I'm doing is too stressful. Who are you more stressed by? Always remember, excuses are good reasons for failure. So this I said you should cut off. Distraction. That distraction might be friends. Every year I tell you this, there are friends that are you are better off without them. Some of you, the distraction is social media. You just there morning till night. No time to preach. No time to invest in your life. No time to go out and harvest men. You're on social media. Why do you come to church late on Sunday morning? You think I don't know? You're on Facebook till 4 a.m. Then you now sleep. And wake up, say, I woke up late. Why won't you wake up late? Cut off distractions. Reduce it and remove it entirely. And whatever that means for you, act on it. There are things that distract us from what God has put in our hands. If it's a relationship, cut it off. Cut it off. And I've been talking about cutting off relationships. I want to say this to you. If there's a relationship that must end, it had better ended today. You say, sir, it's difficult. It will be more difficult next year. I get to the point. The more you keep it, the harder it is. Because the more you keep it, the more you get involved and get committed. If there are distractions around you, cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off. There are things people do and I wonder, how do you tend to go? As far as I'm concerned, the major thing that should dominate your life now is your ministry, then your personal development. Where you are now. Personal development includes maybe your books as a student, or maybe not a student, you are pursuing your career, you are getting better, you are adding more. That's what should dominate your life now. And trust me, these two can work together. But when you put every other thing, some of them are not in this church. I pray you are not here. I wish I'm preaching this on a Sunday. You see people Sunday, every Sunday evening, they go to hang out with friends. Every Sunday evening, hang out with friends. And if you're like that, you better stop it. That is why you have not made progress yet. I'm not saying you cannot hang out with friends. But every evening, Sunday evening, Friday evening, hanging out with friends, first, that's why you are not rich and you will not be. Secondly, that's why you cannot then use your life. Because that time you should be resting or doing something meaningful. You are hanging out with friends. You are burning money, meeting people you should not meet. There is a place for pleasure. I teach you about rest here too, right? But then your life cannot be a restful life. You cannot live your life resting. All your life should not be leisure. Some people, things you call, we call leisure, is their normal life. Cut off distraction. This year is to whip muscles for Jesus. It's our best time. Are you getting the point? Have your time. Saturdays, be here. Apart from Saturdays, within the week, you know, don't miss what I'm saying. There is evangelism on Saturday. That one is where we go to meet people we don't know. Very important. There is evangelism you must do within the week. Where you're ministering to your classmates, you're ministering to your neighbors, you're ministering to your workmates. They need to meet Jesus. They need to meet Jesus. They need to meet Jesus. And you've been saddled with that responsibility. And you know what I heard in my spirit now? He said, I saddle you with that responsibility because I trust you. I actually believe in you. It's time to exercise yourself unto godliness. If you never had soul winning plans this year, you should have it already. And if you already made those plans, remove those plans from paper and begin to live in those plans already. Some of you, every year, just write things and bring to me. I'll make 5 million this year. I will save 1,000 people this year. I will stretch my capacity this year. Don't worry. That's why I said you should send it to my mail. Around October, I will invite you. And you defend that you wrote to me. You defend it. I'll win 200 people this year. What are you doing? Start already. I want to close this way. Listen, many of us, we're going to hit the street, one-on-one evangelism, that can never be replaced. But there are many of us that will meet or reach men through some other means. I've told some of you that you can write, you create content. You are creating it for everybody on Twitter, everybody on this that is paying you $100. What about creating content that will bless people and putting them on your platforms? That's why we sell all the publication team. What about something like that? What about content that we bring men to Christ? I've been talking to some people in this church who act. What about those contents that can bless people? What has filled up the comedy space now? Nonsense. Either they are cracking jokes about women, or about money, or about church. Have you observed? One pastor was doing this one, and they now carried offering box, and they now laughed. And you might think people are just laughing. They are learning. They are learning. One of those comedians on Facebook started something last year. Someone I know before God, a man that is not born again. And he started doing some skits that is correcting some common errors that pastors do. Someone I know that does not go to church on Sunday. He said, how do you know? Come on now. How do I know? You see, if you're a believer, they know they hide down. Do you understand the point? You can't make this skit and it's about women, their buttocks, sleep with them, do this, and the next one is about, you are not born again. I know you're not born again. If you're born again, you're not growing. You're a nepios. You're not growing. You get what I'm saying? If you didn't get that, just leave it. Listen, we must use everything. Where I see the church now, I'm no longer in that season of people cannot get saved like that. Let's mobilize everything. Musical, writing, preaching, everything. We are in the season of harvest. We preach on Monday, preach on Tuesday, preach on Wednesday. Some of us started sharing gospel contests on our timeline at the time. We stopped. Get back there. Even if it doesn't get people saved, it announces you as a Christian. It tells you you are not any kind of person on social media. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. It's harvest time. this year there will be so much to do with soul winning. And as usual, it won't force you, but will persuade you. But I want that motivation to come from within. Exercise of unto godliness. Seek to make progress. Seek to get better. Seek to get more men saved. Go back to that Matthew 28. I'll close with that. Say, go therefore into all and teach all nations. And teach all nations. Go and teach. Now, in other words, God is not counting on you to just get one or two persons saved. He said all nations. You see, how is that even possible? Are we not rejoicing just last weekend that one of us will chase 1,000? Are we not? That's what he's saying. One of you will chase 1,000. Two will chase 10,000. And that's what I believe that we are in the season now. Do you know that one 30-minute message preached in your class can give you 100 souls once? I said once, in less than 30 minutes. One 30 minutes. I said just one 30 minutes time is spent. It's good. That should be your desire. That the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. That should be your desire. And if that is not burning in you, then we need to do some checks. Cut off the excuses this year. Cut off the distractions. There's a lot to do. He said, teach all nations. The word is disciple nations. This verse, it challenges me all the time. It did, but you know why it challenges me? He did not just say, get nations to be saved. He said, you should disciple. In other words, turn nations into students of the world. So it means God thinks this is possible. God thinks that we can school an entire nation in the word of God. We can school an entire nation. He thinks we can school an entire nation, an entire city, an entire school, an entire classroom, an entire office, an entire street. He thinks we can school them in the world. And this is the year of light. We must shine that light. Are you getting the point? I was telling you as a way. There are different things to do with light. One of them is you must shine it. Wherever you find darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is unbelief and condemnation in the heart of men. You must shine that light in those areas. You must shine that light in those areas. You must shine it in those areas. You get into your classroom, there is darkness. Shine the light. What is the light? Speak the gospel. I've said this all the time, and I can say it all the time. The simplest line of the gospel can save the toughest of sinners. The simplest line of the gospel. I said, as simple as Jesus died for it. But the simplest line of the gospel can save the toughest of sinners. Can save the toughest of sinners. The simplest line. The simplest line. What we want to see this year is additions to the church. But not just additions of people who are born again from elsewhere. Additions of people that we reach to the streets or we got saved and we bring them out, we school them in the world. The simplest line can save the toughest of men. And it's forever true. Go and check most times you hear about imams that get saved. What used to save them is not exegesis. Somebody can just meet them and tell them, just love you. And that word will begin to pursue them till they get to their house. Just lost. We don't know how powerful God's word is. We don't know how powerful it is. How powerful it is in your lives. I want you to know. And I believe it. And you better begin to say the same things with me. No man I speak God's word to will not be saved. Except you didn't give me audience. It's not that I believe this. If I come into a bus, all I have to do is to get your attention. I'm anointed to preach. Answer is because you're a pastor. No, it's because I'm a believer. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the captivity, to preach deliverance to them who are bound.
I'm anointed in that way. And I'll say one last thing. Why the harvest is ripe? The harvest is ripe finally. But it's harvest time because the Holy Ghost has been given. Let me tell you why I said this. That which will empower us to preach is the Holy Ghost. He has been given. That which will convict men when we preach to them is the Holy Ghost. He has been given. So what will empower us and what will convict men in their hearts has been given. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, shall be my witnesses. Do you have the Holy Ghost? The primary purpose the Holy Ghost was given is ministry. Is to preach. Look at it. Acts 1 verse 8 quickly. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So the reason the Spirit was given is not primarily for speaking in tongues. It's so that you can become witnesses. And because he has been given, it means everything is set. And the beautiful thing is, he's in you, empowering you to preach, giving life to your words. Then when those words go forth, he jumps into the person and begins to convict them in their heart. The Holy Bible talks about him in John chapter 14, that he convicts the world of his sin. And he said, of sin, because they believe not in my name. So as you begin to speak, he goes to their heart and begins to convict them. It's harvest time. Because that which will empower us and that which will finish the work has been given. Released. I see in the spirit, as I've always seen, how that there is darkness all over the earth. And the Spirit of God is brooding over the waters. You know what that means? This is an unbeliever here. There is, he is darkness. The Holy Ghost is just hovering around him. What is he seeking for? He's seeking entrance. He's seeking entrance. So when somebody comes and shines the light, the Holy Ghost gets into that heart and begins to convict that person. He has been brooding over lives. Every time you enter your class, see this picture. The Holy Ghost is brooding over this class. Every time you enter your office, see it. He's breathing over the lives of men that are not saved. He's waiting for you to talk so that he can begin to convict them. And I see this literally. Some of you, the impartation that you will receive this evening will be that when you see men, you will be able to know that they are set and they are ready. And I want this to happen to you this year. You will walk through open doors in ministry. It's something I trust God for. Every time I want to hear this, I tell God, Father, I know you died for everybody. But I know there are people who are ready now. How are they ready? Sometimes things have been talking to them. I ever gone to preach somebody, the person will tell you, I've been seeing dreams before now. Father, this year, show me those men. Those men that are already sent. That what, even if I appear and start talking, what I am saying will begin to resonate with their spirit, man. That's what I'm saying. I don't waste my time in evangelism. I see ready hearts before I meet them. I see ready hearts before I meet them. The same way is the same word of knowledge now. I see people here and I tell you, I say, this one, you are called to be a minister. That's the same thing. I see people. Have you seen people like, just on this one will get saved? I just go after the person. I heard my spirit, God saying, there are prepared hearts already. Prepared hearts, you will support them. As you step out on Saturday, begin to trust God to support them. You will just see them walking. They might not look it, but there is an inward witness. There is an inward witness. There is that thing that will rise within you, and you'll be able to support. And some of them you meet them, they will even argue with you. He said, why are they arguing if their heart is prepared? It is Satan, the last fight of a defeated enemy. The last struggle of a defeated foe. Do you know why they're fighting? They don't want to hear what you have to say, but dare to talk. My words are so powerful. If you hear me, you'll be saved. And so I want you to engage what I'm talking about. It's our best time. Oh. There is darkness. Isaiah chapter 61. Just keep standing so that we just close that. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's where we are. Arise, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He now began to prophesy. He said, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. That's where we are now. Gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And then the Gentiles shall come to thy light. It will happen to us this year. That light that we carry, Gentiles in this sense represent unsaved men. As we speak, they will rush to our light. They will rush to our light. Darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness the people. Hallelujah. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. Kings shall come to the presence of thy light. You know what this means? It means you can have so much impact in ministry that even people that are in exalted positions will begin to respond to your message. I mean, your lecturer can get saved through you. And I want to say that to somebody. If God has been putting it in your hands to talk to your lecturer, he will bless you with the wisdom with which you do it. But do it. Do it. Yeah. I minister to people in authority as a student in my school. Kings shall come to the presence of the rising. Hallelujah. I remember preaching in the class one day, the students. And normally, I've had encounters. You know, one of the things that God will do for you is that he will make you bold. Say, I'm bold. And I told somebody yesterday, boldness or courage is not the absence of fear. It's not. It is the ability to keep going even if you're afraid. Are you getting the point? That was in I was preaching that day, and while I was preaching, this lecturer, very dreaded, he came in. I don't know who's this, who's making that noise. So to be to go and could you get out of this class? You know, I'm someone that what I'm doing, I'm on a divine assignment. You cannot intimidate me. Now you cannot insult me for preaching and I feel bad. I don't feel sorry for myself, I feel sorry for you. They said, get out. I told everybody, okay, guys, I'll be back later. And I left. After that, some weeks so after that, I was preaching in another class. You know, and a lecturer was, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I just really got to say this. A lecturer was, then I say lecturer coming in. I already wanted to pack my things and run away. Because the effect of, I just remember that they pursued me from class the other day. And it was an embarrassment. Small children, idiots. You should be reading your book, you're here preaching. Look, get out of this class. You know. Amen. So in this next class, it happens to be my class. I was preaching, there was no lecture in class. And it wasn't the time for the lecturer. But then it happened to be my HOD. I was preaching somewhere, I was still preaching. As it was just coming in, I wanted to run away. But then I told you guys, courage is not the absence of fear. So I kept preaching. So I already braced up myself for another. Who is this idiot talking in my class? That's why she's not fear me again. You see, call me names. Am I an idiot? That's the important thing. They call an idiot. Have you ever been an idiot? Yeah, never been an idiot. So they call an idiot. Why is he paying me? So I already prayed to myself another. Who is this idiot? He just came in. Just looked around the class. And the next thing I heard was, is it not you people that someone is preaching to? And all of you are making noise. You look, get seated, everybody. Everybody sat down. He said, you have 20 minutes. Finish up. What are you saying? I preached. I made the altar call. He responded to the altar call. I prayed for the sick. The class. You see, sometimes your fears will not happen. Fears will not happen. Be courageous. Be confident. Share the gospel with someone. With two.
with five, with ten, with a crowd? Have I not empowered you, says the Lord? Have I not put my spirit within you? Have I not strengthened you to do this? Is my word not like fire in your mouth? Have I not touched your tongue to speak? And perhaps you don't know, your words have been anointed. Yeah, they've been anointed. We're going to pray one prayer. Father, in this year, I walk into open doors. Now, what I'm talking about is open doors for ministry. Those prepared hearts, those hearts that have been made ready, in this year, I walk into them and I will take those opportunities. Are you getting me? I'm going to pray. I walk into them, I will take the opportunity. This year, I will get involved. I will be part of this harvest. We will reap. Lift your voice, pray that prayer. I walk into open doors. Men, let me hear you pray. Come on. Pray, come on. Let me hear you. Come on, church. Come on. Some of you are praying how you should pray. I want to be part of these things, Lord. I'm walking into doors that have been opened for me. You have some time. Take your time and pray. Minutes. Come on. Just go ahead. Go ahead and pray. Thank you, Father. Just pray. Step it up. This your heart desire, Lord, I'm in. Step it up. Open your mouth, make sure you're praying.
pray. I walk into doors that are open. Hearts made ready. Hearts made ready. Hearts made ready. The effects of prayer, I walk into them. Men that have been set up and made by prayer, I walk into them. Just go ahead. Eclair Brade Ganash. Freleketeteya Bararash. I'd like you to hold one person by your side. You're going to pray for that person. Father, in this one's heart, ignite a passion for the lost. Ignite a passion for souls. Ignite a passion for ministry. Ignite a passion for men. Ignite a passion for sinners. Pray for that person. That in this one's heart, in this sister's heart, in this brother's heart, let a passion for the lost begin to rise in our heart. Pray for that person. As you are praying, begin to imagine dusting, burden dropping on them, passion dropping on them. Let me hear you pray, O life. You know what they are saying. Just go ahead and pray. Father, let this one catch that passion as it is in your heart. Just the same way you said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish it. Let it be his meat too. Let it be his drive too. Let it be his passion too. Let it be his commitment too. Come on. I am your own. I am your own. Till the day you will die. Jesus.
I am your own.
I am your own. till the day you will come.
Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come.
We wake up your song.
Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day. See you again.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day we see you again.
Till the day you will come.
I am Alanaba.
Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day I see your face.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Until the day I see your face.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Until the day I see your face.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day we meet you, Lord.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Until the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Until the day we see your face.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day, till the day,
till the day you will come.
I am Aladaba.
Jesus, I am yours.
Throughout 2023, oh.
Till the day you will come.
Jesus.
Jesus,
every day, every week, every second, every minute, every hour, I am Aladaba.
Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day you will
come. Remember
throughout the year.
Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come.
Aye, aye, aye.
Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come.
That passion for the lost. Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day I see your face.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come.
Let's chant it like my prophets.
Till
the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus. Jesus, I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come.
Aye, 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 aye.
Jesus, one last time. I am yours.
Till the day you will come.
Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own.
And Lord, we make this commitment. It's not just what we say. Let this passion burn in everyone's heart. Let it remain. Let souls blind your eyes. Let souls take over your sleep. Let the souls of men become the source of your discomfort. Let the souls of men be that which takes sleep from your eyes. May the souls of men be that which bring you satisfaction like it brought to Jesus. May that which breaks the Father's heart break your heart too. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know we are in. For all you will have us to, you will do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.